Our title of today's message, God's Plan for Man. We're going to be in Psalm 128. We're going to look at actually all six verses. Psalm 128, we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. But in 2014, professional football player Michael Sam received the Arthur Ashe Courage Award for fearlessly announcing to the world before the NFL draft that he was a homosexual. He got a big award for that. This year's recipient was Olympic gold medalist Bruce Jenner, who changed his name to Caitlyn and who claims to have embraced the truth that he has actually known for years that he is actually a woman trapped in a man's body. He's been described by some in the news media as a hero. Someone who has so courageously gone against the norm and has fearlessly taken a stand for the transgender community. And Jenner even beat out other nominees such as Lauryn Hill, who was a college freshman who had an inoperable brain tumor. And who, as it says in the USA Today sports section, it says she showed extraordinary bravery by playing in an actual game and scoring 2 points. And in the process, she helped to raise awareness about her condition before eventually succumbing to that condition earlier this year. Bruce Jenner beat her out for the Arthur Ashe Courage Award. Folks, there is an all-out satanic attack going on, and it's an attack on God's design for men today. An all-out attack on true manliness. Now today is Father's Day, and I'd like us to step out of our study of the book of Acts just long enough to examine what a real masculine godly man looks like. In other words, what are the characteristics as set forth in God's inerrant and eternal word? What are the characteristics of a real man? One who will say, you know what, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, as we said, there are many who are doing everything they can to try to convince others that there is no fundamental difference between man and woman. But nothing could be further from the truth. In Genesis 1:27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Folks, while men and women are equal, they are not the same. God made man, and God made woman, and he made them different, and he made them different for a purpose. Now, with that said, I'd like us to address the question, what does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a real man? In other words, what is God's plan for man? And first of all, I'd like us, I think it's very important, I should say, to define manliness. So I looked it up in the dictionary. Manliness, having or showing qualities such as strength and courage that are expected in a man. In other words, mankind understands that there is an appropriate character expected of a man. Now, not everybody understands what that God-ordained character is to look like. In other words, not everyone understands God's design for a real man. But fortunately, God has given an instruction book, right? He's given us an instruction book on how to identify and or become a real man. So if you'll turn with me to Psalm 128. If you're not already there, turn with me to Psalm 128. And we're going to look at the characteristics of a real man on this Father's Day today. Psalm 128 says, "Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in his ways. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem, and may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." Now, the first characteristic of a real man, as seen in God's word, is a real man walks faithfully and obediently with the Lord. A real man walks faithfully and obediently with the Lord. We see in verse 1 of Psalm 128, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in His ways. You know, in this verse, what we see here is the godly example that a husband and a father is commanded to be for his children and his wife. Right? He is to be a father who truly worships God. And he does so in every area of his life. He is a godly husband who has a close personal walk with the Lord. And daily he's in God's Word. He's reading. He's studying. He's seeking its truth. Seeking the guidance that he so desperately needs to lead his family in the direction that God has called him to. And he's walking daily in submission to God's Holy Spirit. Seeking His will through consistent prayer and the application of God's Word to his own life, knowing that he cannot ask his family to do what he has not already done, and he cannot ask them to go where he is not willing to go himself. He must lead his family by example. By the way, did you know that in the home, the man is to be the figure, he is to be the picture of Almighty God. The view that a man's family has of Almighty God is formed from the example that he has given them. Therefore, he must live a godly life because he is the model to his family of what Almighty God is like and of what the Lord Jesus Christ is like. And folks, this is a huge responsibility. And again, when you look at our culture today, as we said earlier, you see an all-out attack, an attack on the true biblical concept of manhood. And so many men have believed that satanic lie that says, you know what, this religion stuff, this talk about God, Jesus Christ, and love, and all that stuff, that's for women, that's for children, right? That's not for the real man. And even the church has bought into this to a certain extent. I mean, look at the ministries that are most prevalent in the church today. Children's ministry, youth ministry, women's ministry, ministry to unwed mothers, to widows, to the elderly, ministry to the poor, the destitute. Right? And these are all great ministries. Ministries that God has called different individuals to faithfully serve in, but an area which many churches are lacking today. It's ministry to men. And this is an area of utmost importance. Because, as we said, by God's sovereign plan, He has ordained that the man is to be the clear, godly, accurate picture of what Almighty God looks like to his wife and family, to his co-workers, to his friends, to his neighbors, right? Now, if you're a man here today, or you're listening to this message, let me ask you this. After hearing the fact that we are responsible to be Almighty God's representatives to our wives and children, after hearing that, if you are still convinced that this stuff about God and the Lord Jesus Christ is for the weak, I want you to stop and think about that for a moment. Just think about that. The view that your family has of Almighty God and possibly their eternal destiny rests on the job, the privilege that we as men have been given. Now, does that sound like a job for the weak? I don't think so. Absolutely not. That is the job of the spiritually mature, godly man who has that close and personal walk with the great God of the universe. And who understands that the strength needed to accomplish such a task comes only from God Himself. The real man understands that he himself is not God, but rather he is God's responsible servant. Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians 11, verses 3 through 7, you'll see God's ordained hierarchy for the family. That's 1 Corinthians 11, 3 through 7. While God the Father and God the Son are co-equal and co-eternal, God the Father is the head of God the Son. And that relationship, actually, the relationship of man and wife are to reflect that hierarchy. While the husband and wife are of equal worth, the husband is the head of the wife. And that's not popular in our culture today, but it's true. Now, we need to remember this too, as men. Man is to love his wife just like Jesus Christ loved the church, right? And gave himself as a sacrifice for her, seeking her well-being ahead of his own. And the wife is to willingly submit to her husband's God-ordained position of leadership in the family, just as she would to the Lord himself. Because it is the Lord who placed him there in that position in the first place, right? And he did so for her well-being, to care for her. So for the woman to reject the husband's God-ordained position as head of the household is to reject God's designed plan for her. 1 Corinthians 11:7 says that man is the image and the glory of God, but the woman is the glory of man. So basically, in the home, the man pictures Almighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ, while the woman pictures the church or the bride of Christ. And again, men, don't get sucked into that idea that the religion and spirituality are just for women and children. As a matter of fact, God places a bigger responsibility on the man than he does on the woman. I read one preacher who put it like this: men, if your home is not right, you share the primary responsibility, not your wife and not your children. Folks, man is the head of the household. And that's why it is of utmost importance, again, that as men, we be walking faithfully and obediently before the Lord. Okay, the second characteristic of a real man is that a real man's walk will be fruitful. A real man's walk will be fruitful. Look at Psalm 128, verse 2. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Now, if you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 19, God says this to man. He says, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. Okay, we see here that God's plan for the man is that he provide for his family, for his home. That's God's plan for the man. And ladies, if you've often wondered why God gave your man such a rough and tumble exterior or mentality, if you've ever wondered why he feels the need to be tough, why he has such a hard time showing the softer side, it's because God created him that way. He created him that way so as to sacrifice and to work hard to provide for his family. You see, God didn't create the woman that way. He created the woman not to be the primary breadwinner, but to be the nurturer of the family. Now, one thing you got to be careful about is this. Don't get sucked into this satanic lie that the nurturing role means weakness, or that it isn't important, because it is. It is important. Both roles are of equal importance to the health of the family, as well as to that family's godly testimony. But again, God's plan is that man provide for his wife and the family. Now, it's important to note something here, and that is that man's provision does not just mean providing food and clothing and shelter and making a lot of money for the woman so she can get her jewelry and this or that, right? That's not, it doesn't mean just providing those things. Just because a man has provided his family with a nice home, with fancy cars, name brand clothes, or the best cuisine around, right, does not mean that he has done his job. The real man, who is the true provider for his family, must continually ask himself the question, what does my family really need? Okay? In other words, in what areas do I need to provide for my wife? Other than the obvious physical provisions, am I faithfully providing her with the emotional and the spiritual security that she needs? What about each of my children individually? How and what am I to provide for them? Am I providing the godly, spiritual, emotional model needed to lead them to a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? and to help them grow into the godly man or woman of Christ that God has intended for them to be? As a man, as a father, am I meeting those needs? Am I continually praying for, lifting each member of my family before the sovereign Lord of the universe, the loving God, who considers them to be so valuable that he suffered, he bled, and he died a torturous death on the cross for them? Am I faithfully providing for them in that way? Men, as husbands and as fathers, we should be constantly asking God, what is your plan for my wife? And how do you want to use me to accomplish that? What is your plan for my kids, each one of them individually? And how do you want to use me to accomplish that? Right? The real man is a provider, and he's also a protector. And he needs to seek God's will for his family. Next, we see that the real man has a worshiping family. The real man is a worshiping family. Look at verses 3 through 5 of Psalm 128. It says, your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Thus is the man blessed who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion all the days of your life. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem. Now, it says here, first of all, that your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your sons will be like olive shoots around your table. Now, first of all, this leads to a question. What does a fruitful vine and olive shoots have in common? What do they have in common? Well, the answer is this. They both need to be cared for. They both need to be properly cultivated. Now, a vine is something that you would call scandent. In other words, it is a climbing plant, right? A vine's a climbing plant. So in order to properly grow and have any hope of producing good fruit, it needs something to climb on. It needs something to lean on. And the same holds true with a man's wife. Just like the vine needs something strong to lean on, so too does a man's wife. She needs the support of a godly husband who, again, is daily in God's word and in prayer for the growth, protection, and fruitfulness of his family. She's like a vine in that respect. And a real worshiping man's children, it says, are like olive shoots. Now, in the Middle East, olive trees were a source of wealth. But in order for them to be productive, to be stable, and to be green and lush, they need to be pruned. They need to be cultivated, right? But that leads to the question, how does a father cultivate his olive trees, right? How does he cultivate his children? Look at Ephesians 6:4 if you want to write that down. Ephesians 6:4. It says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. You know, isn't it great how God's Word has all the answers? It has all the answers, all the basic principles to the questions of life. God, knowing how He created the man, gives man the blueprint for properly and lovingly pruning his children. At first he says, do not exasperate your children. In other words, do not provoke them. Which means don't frustrate your children. Don't wound them. Don't humiliate them. You know, I know a lot of men, a lot of fathers, husbands, who are so insecure that they make fun of or they humiliate both their wives and their children in front of others so as to make themselves look good. And if you're one of those men, let me say this in the kindest, most gentle way possible. Knock it off. Knock it off. A real man does not do that. So fathers are not to exasperate their children. Instead, it says, God says that fathers are to bring their children, who, by the way, their children are special gifts from the Lord and should be treated as such. But fathers are to bring their children up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. In other words, just like a farmer lovingly prunes the tree so as to make it thicker and more fruitful, just as he fertilizes and waters the tree to promote the optimal growth, the godly father disciplines, lovingly disciplines, and instructs his children in the ways of the Lord. He models the heavenly father to them, and he shows them the importance of living lives of obedience to God. And just like the growth process of the olive tree, the process of developing our children into the godly men and women that God has designed them to be, it takes time. It takes time. But sadly, too many men, too many so-called fathers today, just don't seem to have the time, do they? According to a national poll, the average amount of time a father spends with his teenage child, get this, only 7 minutes a day. 7 minutes a day. And the biggest reason is, as many fathers say, they just don't have enough time to spend with their kids. So what do? Well, they shoot for quality time, right? Quality time. But you know what? The truth is, that's not what their children need. And that's certainly not what they want. Children want and need quantity time just as much as they do quality time. In a recent study conducted at Pennsylvania State University, I wrote this down, nearly 200 families were tracked, and it was found that teenagers who spent time specifically with their dads had better self-esteem, better social skills, fewer delinquent behaviors, and a less likelihood to give in to peer pressure. Man, I don't think we realize just how important time with our children and our wives really is. And our children desperately need that godly model, that accurate example of what our Heavenly Father is truly like. Loving, caring, gracious, righteous, blameless, forgiving, just, long-suffering, peaceful, just to name a few, right? So guys, we are to model those characteristics to our children as well as to our wives. And again, as far as our wives are concerned, they need us for the support, just like we need them for their support. They need us for the support physically, emotionally, as well as spiritually. As a matter of fact, men, our chief assignment from God, an assignment that we are going to be held accountable for, is to live and to lead in such a way that our wives are developed into a more radiant and more beautiful Christian. That's our responsibility as men, as husbands. Which means that men, you are the spiritual head of the house. I'm going to say that again. Men, you are the spiritual head of the house. Take that responsibility seriously. Don't say, oh, my wife's got enough religion for the both of us. No, that's not the way it goes. You are responsible for that. You know, I'm the pastor of this church, First Baptist Church, this church body. But you, men, you are the pastor of your home. Don't neglect your responsibility to lead. You are to take the bull by the horns and lead your wife and kids spiritually. And wives, don't try to usurp your husband's God-given position of authority. Allow him to lead. Because if you don't, ladies, if you fight against your husband's God-given authority in the family, if you fight against him every step of the way, you are sinning against Almighty God. You're saying, God, you know what? You made a mistake. I'm the one who should be submitted to. My husband does not deserve it. I should be calling the shots in the family. Our roles should be reversed, right? But ladies, think about this. That's the sin of pride. And pride is the sin that led Satan to rebel against God. And is that who you want to emulate? I hope not, right? You know, when men and women switch their roles in the family, or when they both try to lead, it reminds me of the old circus Billings or whatever. When you see, oh, there's the two-headed calf. It's a freak show. It's not natural, right? It's the same thing. It's unnatural. There is a headship in the home, and that responsibility has been given by God to the man. And men, if there's a problem again with the headship in the home, it's more than likely because we have failed to be the God-honoring men that we are called to be. And more often than not, the buck stops here, right? It stops with us as men. Finally, let's look at verse 6, Psalm 128. It says, "And may you live to see your children's children. Peace be upon Israel." You know, a good way to conclude this message is to talk about a man's wealth. A man's wealth. Now, what is true wealth? Is it, as we said earlier, is it a nice house, fancy car, designer clothing, jewelry, something like that? No, it's not, at least not in God's eyes. To God, as we've seen in verse 6, real wealth is knowing that your wife and your children know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to repeat that. To God, real wealth is knowing that your wife and children know and love the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that old saying, you can't take it with you? Guess what? It's true with regards to physical wealth, the physical wealth of this world. But with regards to the spiritual, you absolutely can take it with you. Men, you can take the souls of your family with you. If they have seen in you the love of Christ, and if they have responded to His love by faith and have surrendered their lives to Him, they will forever be a testament. A testament to the faithfulness of God to work in and through you, His faithful servant. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank You again. Thank You so much for providing us with the example, providing us with this hierarchy, this order of things, and not chaos. Thank You for providing us with fathers. As we celebrate the fathers on this day, and the greatest father of all being You, Lord. Help us as men to take this message to heart. Help us to understand the huge, huge responsibility that we have to make sure that we are leading our families spiritually. And we're providing for them. That we're allowing You to provide for them through us. Thank You, Father. Thank You for Your word, the truth of it. Help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.